Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Nothing But Respect podcast, a Celtic Football Club podcast by the fans, for the fans. I'm OCE and today I'll be joined by Bruce, Hunter and a special guest to the pod, John Reid. Nothing But Respect, an unofficial Celtic Football Club podcast. Today I'm joined by Bruce, Hunter and John Reid.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime, bro.
Very welcome, mate.
Celtic lost for the first time in the league this season up at Pittodrie just over 24 hours ago. They lost 2-1 by Aberdeen being down to 10 men and Celtic having the league. So what did you make of the performance and was there any particular highlights? So I'll start with a special guest here, but John Reid.
Well, I thought all along that we'd lose, so I wasn't really surprised. Well, it wasn't a bad performance in the first half. Played no bad. Lee Griffiths, who I said all along would be a great signing for Celtic, did well for the penalty. I can understand why I never... With the penalty, I can understand why I never sent him off, because he was facing away for goal, but I suppose it could have been a red card. Setting half, though, were poor. Didn't really create anything. The goal we gave away, the winner, was pathetic. Craig Gordon was really poor. The big players disappeared. Brown was poor, like he's been for the last couple of weeks. Johansson, who I've not really liked. Didn't do much in the defence, didn't do much either. And Delia, who, yet another person I've not been a fan of. Got a lot of work to do to turn this round. We'll still win the league, probably by like 8 points or something, but it's looking dodgy right now.
Hunter, where did you make it?
Like John, I think me and John had both said during the week that Celtic would probably lose. Good to see hands across the Kelvin was vindicated.
In tears.
I'm not overly surprised that we lost, but I'm really frustrated that we did. I don't feel like we can afford to lose the games, especially with Aberdeen winning every game. They'll probably beat pretty much all the other teams in this league this season. So Their main downfall by Phil McGilligan last season was not beating Celtic, and obviously they've got off to a good start now, and I just think it's not acceptable to lose to a team with 10 men and after having the lead. I think too many players didn't perform yet again, which has been a problem for us a lot of this season, not just in the big game, in the big games they've failed to perform, but in a lot of the other ones, pretty disappointing to be honest.
Bruce?
Yeah, I agree mostly what the boys have said. Just on, I think the biggest problem for me yesterday was the fact that as soon as it went to one each, they just seemed to run out of ideas. There was nae... I think we could easily have seen the game at 1-0 if Aberdeen didn't get a penalty. But when it went to one each, they just seemed to completely shut down. It was almost like body blow for some reason, and they should be better than Aberdeen, and they should be able to overcome this, you know, these obstacles in games and go on and regain the lead, but they just seem to stop, and too many of the team are off form, and I actually thought in the first half we played quite well. I thought we were complete control of the game the first half, to be fair, and I know I'm a fan of his, and I thought he was disgraceful in the second half, but I thought in the first half Johansson actually had a really good game, and was the only player in our team, in our midfield at the time, to actually get a grip of the ball. But in the second half he fell away and had a needless kick at somebody, which he tends to do when things are going away. Thought Brown was poor. I think he's either carrying an injury or he's just a forum, or I don't know, maybe he's got to change his game a wee bit. Beaton was poor in the first half. I thought he came onto a game in the second half and was the only player in the team to actually be able to get a fit in the ball when everybody else was just looking to lump it down the park. Defensively, soft again. Don't track runners into the box. Don't follow anybody at corners. And the second goal was, for all he's been a great signing for us, and he's won his points and won his plaudits in Europe. But Craig Gordon's got to put his horns up. Well, come out and say he made a mistake. He should have caught that, he should have came out. He didn't. It was inexcusable not to come out because the ball wasn't in with any real pace. It wasn't right at, you know, it wasn't dipping towards him. It was floated. It was right in at him. He's got to clear the box, take it. The ball base bounced. I mean, the boys hit it with his shin in the 6-yard box, which is unacceptable. And but the defence didn't attack the ball again, which is a big problem. But the second goal's on Gordon. But it was just, and as Hunter says, to lose to 10 men is really poor, especially when you're the favourites anyway. So it was, I think it was a bad day at the office, but there's too many players off for him, and I don't know how Dyla goes about changing that, you know.
I think on that second goal, talking about Gordon, and I agree, but I also think Blackett looked culpable as well. I think it was Blackett number two.
Yes.
Blackett's just kind of, the guy's just got right in front of Blackett. Blackett's just standing about, not really doing anything. And then Blackett and Boyata are screaming at each other, but Blackett really should have been attacking that ball. Like Bruce is saying, nobody going to attack the ball. That was Blackett's to attack, and Gordon as well. And nobody's, they've just let it bounce and fought an Aberdeen player, and it was totally unacceptable. And for a team that has two coaches, Dyla and Kennedy, that were centre-half, we're giving away some amount of terrible goals from set-pieces at the moment.
I think, though, when the boy's in the air for that amount of time, it's got to be the keepers. I just can't. I know Blackett lost his man very easily, but when the boy's in the air for that amount of time, the keeper's got to come out and take that. It's right in tap him, and I love Craig Gordon. He's been a great player for us for a year. And I don't think, you know, the Inter, he's only ever made errors in the Inter game, really, but, you know, he's bounced back, and he probably will again, but I think I can give the defence a wee bit of slack now for that goal. But even at that, you know, it was a daft free kick to give away as well, and, you know, the problem with this Celtic team is, and it's like the Mowbray team again. When they get free kicks outside the box or corners against them, you just not expect a goal to go in, but you know for a fact that there's more chance of a header going towards your goal than us heading the ball out, because they take absolutely no responsibility for the, no, their zone. You know, people going about zonal marking, but if they were to take responsibility for their area, then it wouldn't be a problem. But they all just seem to stand there and wait for somebody to run in and score. Really, really frustrating, and it you know, they ain't going to win the league, aye, but it's got to cost us, it's got to be a lot more bad days like yesterday if they don't sort this out.
Well, a problem that we've got is that because we always sell our best players every season, we're always going to have to chop and change the defence, and that's probably the most important part of the team, you know. And I was worried about this Aberdeen game because we're going to have to change the defence again. And we're playing a team that don't concede goals. Aberdeen have got a defence that's, I think, running about mostly the same as last season, and they've only conceded like 2 goals. We've conceded 8 already. And we're going to throw in the new guy. That, knowing us and how dodgy we're at the back, will take time to gel. And we're going to Amsterdam on Thursday. It's going to be worrying. Having to play a new defence again, what we need to do is get a settled back four as soon as possible. So that I know we all think we'll still win the league, and we will, but we don't want to let Aberdeen get a good start. Like, because if they were something like, I don't know, 10 points ahead or something, that'd be alarming for this Celtic team. I'd worry that they'd be able to pull it back.
Well, I don't know how they pull back going behind a goal, never mind 10 points. So it's worrying. I don't think there's a crisis. I think a lot of people have overreacted to it, but it's definitely worrying that they look so out of ideas when the team's meant to be littered with this young, creative, attacking, flowing mindset, and we've not seen it. You know, bar that half an hour against Kilmarnock where it looks as if we're going to score about 9, the old frailty showed up again. And what got me yesterday was, even with 10 men, Aberdeen went for it and Celtic didn't. And you'd think that with 10 men, you know, Celtic would put in, he did put Chief John, to be fair, to go up front, but even that, there was no, like, emphasis or urgency. It was like, it's all far too slow, and they seem to give the ball to beat on, and it's a wee bit like Stratton did with Crossass, the team. They just give him the ball and say, right, you need to pick out a 30-yard pass, you know, in behind the defence to a striker. And Griffiths is up there, he's selling, you know, he works hard, but, you know, he's hauled up players near best, and I think in the first half he'd what, about 7 chances, and it took him his penalty to score. So, yeah, it's worrying. But with Ajax, I think their defence isn't the best either, but of course...
Well, in the last 7 Ajax games, they've conceded 2, and that was both last night, so
All right, it was just because I'd seen them last night. I've seen a couple of goals they lost. I didn't check their stats, but they've got a decent front line, and I'm with John. I don't want to change the defence, but I think this new boy's got to play. And I don't think the mistakes are because it's a new defence. I mean, maybe, but it's no kind of goal. It's just basic human. At least the defender should be brought up to take responsibility for crosses into the box, and they're not doing it. And to be signed, I don't know why, Boyata came in and scored a couple of goals against Stirling and Carabag and that, and people were kind of raving about him, and now, you know, he looks like a shell of that player he was, what, 5 weeks ago, and he looks clumsy, I mean, he's dreadful on the ball, and you just think, people are saying about Ambrose and all that, but the poor boy's got to settle, but you can't give players 6 months to settle in our state, you know what I mean? We need them to be good to know, because our season's best period is, most important period of our season's, what, you know, July and August. We've fucked that up already. And we go into Europa League, which is the only outside interest really for us this year, unless Aberdeen can keep up their challenge, which remains to be seen. But judging on yesterday, there's no reason Aberdeen shouldn't. No, I think they're going to win the league, but they shouldn't be. They're probably more confident to win the league than they were, you know, 3 days ago.
Aye, well, by the time we next play in the league next Sunday, they'll have played two more games. So if they can start to build that league, I get rubbished a few weeks ago in here for even questioning whether there could be a title race. But if they can get a few wins going, like you have said, like, they're more than capable of beating every team in that league. And if they can keep consistent, then that is a worry.
I don't know what happened the last time they built Aberdeen up. They came to Celtic Park and got humped for nothing. So they've got to prove it over a season.
Of course, but last season we won the league last season by 17 points, and 12 or 8 points came from wins against Aberdeen. We've already lost one this year.
Aye, oh no, but I don't think the games against Aberdeen won the league last year. I don't think Aberdeen are a very good team. I think they're effective at what they do, but We should have seen that game out. It won nothing yesterday by a softish penalty, and then, you know, a glaring defensive error for the goalkeeper on the back four. I don't think they had us under any great pressure for a sustained period, and we were poor rather than they were good. But you need to give them credit, because they stuck to their task. They've got their 3 points. Fair play to them.
Aye, I thought it was a bit worrying. I thought, even when, like you say, even when they're doing the 10 men, they looked more up for it. They were first ever setting ball, and it was
well. They did have a free rein to run about kicking people until Johnny Hayes took it too far. But even at that, you know, we didn't have a player that stood up to him. That's meant to be Scott Brown's job. But the only chance Scott Brown got to get stuck into somebody fell on his ass.
Well, Brown's a big issue now. I mean, it was terrible against Malmo, and it was terrible in the Scotland games. And Delia said he's not injured, but either he is injured, or he just completely went to pieces in the last month, and like he just finally caught up with him. Because, I mean, I've not always been his biggest fan, but I mean, in the last couple of seasons he's played well for us, and he's like probably our most important player now that Van Dijk's left. He's meant to be like the general on the pitch and all that sort of thing, and he's been absolutely terrible recently. And I think in an ideal world, I wouldn't play him on Thursday. Aye, but because none of the other midfield are playing well, he will play. I'm not sure how effective he'll be anyway. He really needs a rest, and I can't see him getting one. So that's another issue we've got.
I think especially if Aberdeen keep up this pace, he'll not get a rest, because there'll be this kind of, oh, well, you need your captain, can't afford to drop any more points. So if anything, he's not going to get a rest. Like you say.
But do we rest him for Scotland's benefit? Or, you know what I mean? How does this work? You know, I agree, I'd like to rest him, but he's got to get picked for Scotland's last two games. We've got a European campaign coming up, so I don't know when the period is to rest him. But I'd like to see Scott Allen in the squad. I thought Rogic was poor yesterday. I'd like to see Scott Allen get a chance. But
I think he's injured.
I'll, you know, maybe he is. But we just, I don't know what it is with Scott Brown. Like, I thought he started the season really well. I thought he was good in the first few league games. I thought he was good in the first leg against Malmo, apart from his error for the first goal. But it seems to be the last couple of weeks. Like, that Georgia game, he was anonymous, and against Germany, he got the run. It's no shame in getting beat by better players, but there did look something off about him. And yesterday, there wasn't that drive like we've seen at Pittodrie last year. You know, when he wins a ball 50-50, drives up the park and scores, there was nothing closely resembling that for him yesterday. He just looked to be, you know, happy to be in the team. And it's worrying, because I think him and Beto on both complete each other really well. And we've not got a player like Scott Brown, so John's right, he is, you know, our most important player that Van Dijk's away now. So if he's off form, so many of them drop. Because I think when he's on form, he keeps the rest of the team playing to a certain level, you know, through his attitude. So, but it just looks like four or five of them, probably more than that team, have dropped off. And, you know, I see Europa League, but a hump in Europe, still a hump in Europe, and we can't afford it.
You're talking about players that have dropped off. One that I thought was very poor again yesterday, who had a fantastic pre-season, and I thought he was going to have a great season this year, but he started really poorly, is Gary McKay-Steven. I thought he really struggled to have any sort of impact in the game yesterday again.
He never took his man on once, which is his biggest asset, is driving at players. And he was up against a good player, and that's Shea Logan, but he let Shea Logan boss him, and that was disappointing. But he has had a poor start to the season. But this all culminates for Dyer dropping and changing the team. We've not had a settled back four, we've not had a settled three behind the striker. Now, in an ideal world, we should be able to play any three players behind Griffiths, and they should be able to come into the team and play well. But, you know, when you're starting, you know, for scratch again, like we were at the start of the season, it's not the best to chop and change. So I'd like to see Mackay Stevens get five or six games in the team, but the way he's playing now, he can't justify that. So, but would I play him on Thursday? I probably would, because he's got a pace, but I'd play Forrest as well. But we really missed Armstrong yesterday, and I think he's becoming one of our most important players. And I think out of all your good players, Griffiths aside, who's on fire at the minute, Armstrong's really our only player that's shown any bit of form, just a pity he gets injured.
There's a couple of talking points. We've heard John say that he could see why the ref didn't get the red card for the Celtic penalty. So, Bruce, did you think it was a red card for Considine?
It was a Stonewall red card. It's John saying he's back to goal, but Griffiths is left footed. He's on his left foot. Griffiths isn't going to miss for there. And it's a Stonewall red card, and Craig Thompson bottled it. But aye, up the other end, it's a red card all day long.
Griffiths. Thanks, Eugene. Right.
No, it's a red card. It's just a simple rules. If we bring somebody down the 6-yard box, it's a red card. You could argue that the Craig Gordon sending off in the Scottish Cup semi-final wasn't a red card then. Neil McCann wanted Craig Gordon sent off for a tackle 10 yards outside the box. So, Considine was a Stonewall red card. And I don't know how, absolutely no reason why he didn't, he couldn't see that it was a red card, apart from the obvious. It's a conspiracy.
Hunter?
It was definitely a red card. I've got no doubt about that. Just pretty much echo everything Bruce said there. I don't really think it matters that he's back to Stigall. He's going to get the shot away. And whether he scored or not, I don't think it really matters. It was a goal-scoring opportunity, and he should have went.
Aye, I agree. So that's 3-1. Speaking of three, I actually think Aberdeen could have arguably had three red cards. They obviously get the one they did get, which was a terrible tackle, and could have really injured Lustig, which I know doesn't happen often, but... Also, the one was that I noticed as well that didn't get much coverage was Kenny McLean on the touchline at Mikael Lustig, where he seemed to smash his knee right into Lustig while Lustig was on the deck after the whistle had blown. Did any of you think that was a red card, Bruce?
Aye, he kicked Lustig in the head right in front of his own manager, and... It was the Aberdeen dugout that saved McLean, because he made Lustig look as if he took a dive, whereas McLean knew exactly what he was doing. He can even say he tried to kick the ball, but the Lustig's got a ball under his body, so, and the whistles went about six times. McLean knew what he was doing. He got away with it. Kelsey Free. But, you know, we're just better times, because the ball hit Charlie McGrew's horn. And that should have been a penalty as well, so evens it sell out over the course of the season.
Hunter?
Yeah, I think it was a sending off as well. It's a clear kick. He'll probably get cited from the compliance officer as well, because it was on the highlights on BBC, so he'll probably get pulled up. In fact, I say he'll probably get pulled up, but Shifty done it with Brown last season and got away with it, so he might get away with it, but it was a red card for me.
John?
Probably a red card, but we still get it, so there you go.
What did you make of the new boy, Tyler Blackett, debut at left back? Hunter?
Obviously, I thought he was culpable for, not solely culpable, but played his part in being culpable for the second goal. Apart from that, I didn't really see much of him because it was working again. You need to get pod guests who actually see full games.
Application though. I wasn't too impressed with him. I thought he didn't really get much going forward, which I know a few weeks ago we were all pretty much slating Ezaguirre, but I think, although I don't rate him very highly, I still think he looks like our best bet at left back just now.
Which is a pretty frightening prospect.
Oh, of course, but
I would have played Ezaguirre yesterday.
Aye.
I mean, in this big challenge against our only challengers, as I said before, don't make loads of changes to the defence. So I'd have played Ezaguirre, and I thought Blackett was nothing special, really. Still early days.
I didn't think Blackett was great, although I didn't get the people writing him off early. I didn't think he did anything too wrong. You know, Aberdeen didn't really much done the right. I mean, McGinn was pretty anonymous. He kept him quiet. He lost one tackle where he went right by the ball kind of thing and get booked for it. But actually, I was quite encouraged when he got forward. I thought he played some nice passes, but
There seems to be, going back, sorry, to Ezaguirre, talking about Blackett and all that, there seems to be this weird revisionism about Ezaguirre at the moment. Everybody's been slating him for quite a while now, saying he's not good enough. And now, he didn't play yesterday, and everybody's like, oh, why was he not playing? Why was he dropped? He's our best left-back. Finding that all a bit strange.
You know Celtic only play big games after they lose them. And people are saying that the two biggest games, Aberdeen away and Malmo away, dropped him, but I don't think he dropped him yesterday. I mean, he was late back, by all accounts, for international football, but he's a clear weak link for the last 18 months to 2 years, and he's an immensely likeable wee guy, but he can't defend, he can't cross a ball. And all I've heard since half two yesterday is how much he creates more than he costs. And he's so much, we missed a lot offensively. I mean, he is offensive to my eyes. Watching him get down that left wing and hitting the ball out to some fan in the first row on the opposite side. How many crosses does somebody need to overhit before you turn around and say, right, you know, why take a wee bit off that?
I don't necessarily think it's his crossing that people are talking about nowadays. I think the amount of space he creates by he constantly overlaps when he is attacking and gets space. Blackett seems scared to go.
Aye, but Blackett, that's his first game. The problem with Ezaguirre is, you know, he gets caught out at the back far too often. He's very rash in the tackle. He's away daft fouls. As I say, I probably would have played him yesterday. I think it was a big risk to play. But I'm not going to excuse all his sins because Blackett, you know, didn't have a man of the match performance. I'm pretty happy for the boy Blackett to have a couple of games in the team because at the end of the day, we knew we needed cover for left back. There's competition now, but people want us to go back to Ezaguirre and Stokes. That only worked for one game against Hearts in the League Cup. In very other games, it didn't work. And it was like Samaras against Rangers. Because he scored twice, he was to play against him every time, and he was to get excused every time. I like Ezaguirre. You know, he's been a good player for the last about 5 years. He got a really bad injury, which cut him down his prime. He was a great wee player up to end. I was raving about him in Carabag. I thought he was immense, but like Carabag proved, it seems to be a bit of a fluke now with the rest of the team. It's time for him to move on. And I mean, I like him as a guy, but he can't defend. He's a weak link so often. And if you want to go on and say we're two biggest games this season, he's been dropped, that should tell you all about that, I think, about him.
Aye, another one we spoke about a few weeks ago. We questioned whether he would be able to date in games like this. And I think Bruce, you says earlier, again, I thought Tom Rogic was very poor yesterday. thought he seemed to be caught in the ball a lot, and I know he'd scored an international debut in that, but it says a lot that I would have preferred Commons on there yesterday after just seeing how off the pace Rogic looked again.
I found it when I seen the teams announced, I found it really bizarre that Rogic was actually starting and that you had Chris Commons on the bench. If you're talking about having experienced players and all that, and Chris Commons, as much as people don't like, well, there are people that don't like him, he's very good at creating. I think he's got, you're more likely to score a goal through Commons than you are through Rogic. And
oh,
I was, and Rogic, just, he's hardly even really played for us, and I just found that one a really bizarre selection, especially ahead of Commons.
But Commons should have done it, eh? You know what I mean? He gets better when he's not on the team. Every week he's not on the team, he's such a better player.
Be fair to Commons, though. I mean, he scored 15 goals last season, scored 32 the season before that. He's always going to be good for an opportunity.
No, I know, but it's like people are going to know how he should be playing every game and that. And he came on in Malmo and just contributed to an absolute shanery of performance. And who's to say he wouldn't have done likewise yesterday?
Yeah. I mean, he's done it in the past for us, and Rogic, who's been like loaned out a couple of times, has done practically nothing for us. And as I keep going back to, this was a big game. It put the marker down against supposed rivals, and I'd have played the most experienced players.
I'd have started Forrest instead of Rogic.
Well, Forrest or Commons, one of them, who have done it in the past for us, even though Forrest is always injured. Rogers has done very little for us, and bizarre decision there with a great deal here.
Moving on, we'll look towards Ajax on Thursday. So Ajax last night drew 2 each way FC 20. If we look at the form before then, they've won 3-0, 3-0, 1-0, 2-0, drew not on each, and won 4-0 the game before that. So it's going to be a tricky test on Thursday. So what changes would you make to the team, and how do you see it going?
The manager, all the playing squad. I don't know. I think Izaguirre does have the will need to come back into the team. Defensively, probably have to start with Simunovic. Like we were talking about, don't change the defence too much. But I think we're going to have to again. If he's going to stick with this formation, which he will, it's going to have to be Brown and Beaton. And then, I don't know, any of the four, and Griffiths up top on his own. I don't know, I can't see us winning it, regardless of what we go with.
John?
I think the new guy, Simunovic, will definitely play. If we spent like so much money on him, and he's Van Dijk's replacement, I think he'll play. I think Izaguirre will come back. I don't know, he might play Commons and drop Rogic, because it's like another big game. Forrest might play, he's an outlet on the break. Probably Griffiths up front, because there's nobody else really.
I would agree with you about Forrest. I think he'll start, and I think, as you say, hate to agree with you, but being an outlet for on the break, I think that's, he will 100% start, and I think he should.
I mean, he's actually done no that bad for us in Europe recently, but I can't see us really getting a result over there. There's too many issues in the team, and I don't think Ajax are like a brilliant team right now. But I think they're probably better than us, and I think we'll probably lose by a couple.
Bruce?
I'll join the confident bunch. I think it's Armstrong. We've got to get him fit. Beating the outlets, I think he's my best outlet in Europe, carrying the ball, as we've seen against Malmo at home. He can carry the ball 50, 60 yards, bring other players into the game. And to think people were telling me last season in March that they would have rather Guy Henderson again than Armstrong. No, we're desperate for a boy to come back. I would play Simunovic. I think he's got to play, as John said. He's a big money signing, a big money for us. He's Van Dijk's replacement. If you leave him out of biggest games, it just gives these conspiracy theorists, you know, more questions to ask about Dyer's role in the signings and in the dressing room. I would play next to him. I don't know, probably need to be Boyata because he's there. He's played most of the games. Although I wouldn't be too bothered if it was Blackett next to him. I would bring back Izaguirre just because he's got experience of playing in Europe, but the Ajax winger will probably roast him. In the midfield, it's got to be Brown and Beaton, and I would play Forrest. I would drop Johansson and play Armstrong in behind Griffiths and play. I would play Mackay Stephen on the left, or Collins. I'm not too bothered. Up front, obviously Griffiths, although I did read today that the Ajax boy said he was telling everybody how good a player Chief G is. So maybe Ronnie will dare Ronnie roar and bring in Chief G for the European games.
Yeah, I agree. I reckon like Forrest has got Forrest, Simonovic.
What the biggest problem is the team picks itself, right? Apart from Simonovic, who came into the team, right? It's not as if we've got five or six players in each position and we're going, oh, you know, I could see why he would play him, but then I could see why he'd get a game. Our team largely picks itself, and which is very worrying that most of the players that are an automatic pick are out of form. I nearly depressed myself thinking the options there.
Well, I think you say, look at yesterday's bench, Bailey, McGregor, Forrest, Yanko, Collins, Chiffchi and Ambrose.
I find it amazing that McGregor's actually near the first team, considering the way he tailed off last season. I thought there was a lot of talk about him going out on loan again, and now he seems to be back on the bench, and he's been involved a few times this season. I find it quite bizarre because I don't think he's good enough for Celtic.
Right, so I'll take a scoreline prediction for each of you. Hunter.
2-0 Ajax.
John.
3-1 Ajax.
Bruce.
2-1 Celtic. So if I'm going to get a heart, I bet against him.
And I will go for 2 each.
I'd draw the new if you offered me it, probably.
Definitely.
Then we're playing Dundee next Sunday with my pick for the next Celtic manager, Paul Hartley.
2-0 Dundee. No, I don't know about Ajax. I'd love to see us go down one, but it's all evidence points to a 65 minutes gone and the roar for the Ajax fans, and we're looking up at a 2-0 scoreline, thinking this could be 5 or 6 if they lose another one quickly. I'd love to see us win. I don't think it's impossible for us to go and win, because when all our players click, we're actually a half decent team, but too many are out of form. I'd take a nut on each and now, the most boring game in history. Craig Gordon's going to need to have a good game, but we knew that anyway. If the boy Simunovic can actually bring a ball down and pass it, I'd have him in the team. But I'm worried that boy gets a roasting in his first game and gets wrote off, and then that's enough and money wasting.
The thing I'm worried about him is that we got a second opinion for a knee injury he had before we signed him. So no luck.
He'll probably get
croaked in the first 10 minutes about for 6 months.
And then Lustig will get injured after 20 minutes, and then, you know, dial his backs against the wall. No, I think this is such a big game for the morale of the team, you know. It could shock everybody, but I would take it on each and every if you offered me.
Aye, I think it's a big week actually, because like you say, so we've got Dundee next Sunday. But at that point, we could be 8 points behind, and Dundee were one of the teams last season who actually impressed me when they came to Celtic Park. Right.
Paul Hartley's getting playing good football. They're a very, very good team, and yeah, they've got good attacking options.
Greg Stewart, a very good player.
Great wee player. They're solid at the back. They'll make
it. Goalkeeper and Ben.
Aye, they've got a good team in Hartley's got them playing well, so they got a good away win yesterday as well, so
that would be weird, being 8 points behind the team and it's not the Wobbs machine.
I've only lost one game.
We don't talk about other leagues, so we just kinda focus on our own.
Right, so sections of the support were questioning Ronnie Dial again after his team went behind and failed to bring it back. We spoke a few weeks ago about how we didn't think it was really under pressure. Do you think the Aberdeen game has really changed that, Hunter?
I don't think he's quite on a sugary peg yet. I think he's 2 or 3 bad results away from being in a bit of trouble. I think last season Peter Lawwell talked about Dialer getting over the Le Guin hump, but I'm not convinced he is. I know he won the league and all that last season, and he won a cup, and he was cheated at a treble pretty much, but I still think there are questions, and if we get to a point where we're several points behind in the league and we're really doing poorly in the Europa League, then I think he's going to find himself under a lot of pressure. I've seen people on Twitter and all that say, oh, Strachan back, which I wouldn't be a supporter of. I think Dyla's probably still the man now, but I think he's a couple of results away from being in a bit of trouble.
John, I know you've known his biggest fan, but do you think he's under pressure?
Well, he should be. But then he'll do a wee roar when we beat Dundee next week and everyone will go back to normal. No, but, well, I think it'll probably depend on the Europa League. If we end up getting some coffins and don't make the progress in it like we did last year, I didn't think we played well in the Europa League last year, but we managed to pull out the results and we actually played no bad in the second greatest game since Lisbon 67 against Inter Milan. They were slowly making progress. As Hunter says, we suppose we were cheated or in the treble. But I mean, if you look at it, like we were last year, around about this time, we're sort of practically the exact same place. We're stagnated. I know that we had more iffy league results last year, but we blew the Champions League and lost loads of money, sold our best player like we did last season, and we're sort of back to where we were. So I've not really seen any progress. And he's far too rigid in his style as well. Only when things are going badly, he goes to two up front, and that used to involve mostly throwing Van Dijk up front for the last 10 minutes. And yesterday, when he tried to play Shifty up front, Shifty ended up back in midfield most of the time, which I don't know if that was Van Dijk telling him that, or if that was Shifty ended up going back to try and collect the ball because Celtic's tactics turned into lump the ball up from Charlie Mulgrew, which was bound to fail. So he is under pressure. I don't think he'll get sacked unless it goes terribly wrong in the Europa League. Like if we're bottom, then I think we'd be better off cutting our losses in December and getting somebody in to see us through, make sure we win the league, and more importantly, he make sure we get to the Champions League next season. Because if we end up being in the same situation again next year and we don't get in the Champions League for the third year in a row, then there's no point in being manager again. But then sacking a manager in August isn't easy. I don't know what, but that wouldn't really entail. Oh, well, so I'll just say that I think he is under pressure.
What I would say, you're saying there, he might get sacked if he's bottom of the Europa League. I think even if we finish bottom of the Europa League, I don't think he would get sacked. I think it would be a contributor if we were 10, 12 points behind Aberdeen, then I think they might be like, right, okay, we can't afford not to win this league. We need to just cut our losses now. But I think it's got to be a combination of a really bad Europa League and really poor league performance. But I don't imagine we'd be that far behind Aberdeen.
I think he would get sacked if we finished bottom of that group.
Nah.
I think he would. I mean, that would end up losing, I know the Europa League, like, money is crappy compared to the Champions League, but that would lose Celtic yet more money. And Delia's already lost Celtic millions. And they can't keep...
They'd maybe cut their losses at the end of the season, but I don't think... But if he was still very much in the league, then I think they would say it's a major disappointment and all that, but I don't think they would sack him.
It's not even that. It's to, let's say, no so much to do with being out of the Europa League. It's mainly to do with the fact is how can you trust that guy to go into next season's Champions League having failed again in Europe?
Aye, but that's what I'm saying. They might look at that and be right, okay, we'll get rid of him at the end of the season. But at this point, while he's still in the league, we won't get rid of him. We'll let him see it through to the end of the campaign and then maybe let him go then.
But I think if we want to change a manager, we're better off doing it before the end of the season because we don't want to get in a situation like last season.
But do you really think we would do that? Do you really think we would pay off a manager while we're still very much going for the... I just don't think that's something we would do.
Well, if the crowd turns against them, then aye. Because bottom line, it's the fans that will decide. No, as they say, Lowell, it'll be the fans that decide, Delia. And for some reason, he's still got the back of most of the fans. Must be that Rory does. But
I wouldn't say he's got the back of the most of the fans.
Fans decided that one would be in administration. Spending fucking 20 million on...
That's a myth. Wanting to spend loads of money, that's a myth. Celtic don't need to spend loads of money. Celtic need to spend their money wiser.
agree a ton of percent with that, but we should be spending. If you let the fans, it's like letting the lunatics take away the asylum.
No, well, that's when it comes to transfer, but when it comes to getting rid of managers, it's the fans that decide that. And as soon as the fans turn on them, then it doesn't matter what Lowell says. I like Lowell, but...
John already sweating there about something that's controversial on a pod.
I don't want to get compared to a Nazi again, like real bloke.
John, but delete that.
Read. Delete that, read. No, I mean, I think a big game for him will be when we play Aberdeen again next month on Halloween. That could be a horror for him. That'll be a big test, because you've got to think that it'll still be relatively tight between us and Aberdeen by then, especially if they're going to end up being 5 points ahead. So, I don't know, I think he's going to... I mean, there's rumours about him falling out with the players. I don't know if I believe that. Matt McGlone said it, so it must be true. So, I don't know, I think he's in trouble. I'll just say that.
Oh, no, my mind was that if he gets one more crack at the Champions League, because I don't think he can sack a league-winning manager, no matter how bad or good the league is. If he fails, you can't sack him in August, because who's going to come in and take the job then? Probably nobody. But then I've been thinking about us a lot, and if we don't make the Champions League next year, I believe he should be made to work his notice to the end of the season. But then the following season, the right after Champions League, to let the new guy come in, and you know, you're right after Champions League and say, we're giving you time to settle in.
We couldn't go 4 years without the Champions League.
I don't think so either.
We couldn't go 2 years without it.
My cut-off is now January 2017.
That's far too long.
18 months from now, so that, my opinion is, he's got to get it right next year. And if he doesn't, but if he loses the league, you know, he's got to go. I really like him, but I think my biggest worry at the minute is that last year it was a dodgy start and he got by it, and he's had to sell his best players, but they've not carried on any of that momentum for last year. See the way we get beat at the treble? It should have had every single player fired up to win it this year. And alright, we still might do it, but they should have had them fired right up to get into Champions League, have a good season, win a treble. I mean, look at the way Anil's team lost in Seville and then lost the league. They come back the next year. They didn't make any great signings.
They didn't make any, but for Michael Gray.
And the whole team, right, alright, it's Larson and all that, right, but the point is, they come back hungrier, they come back, you know, more determined, and they blew that league away, and they gave us some great nights in Europe. This team, there's no momentum carried on for last year, and it's like, they've had to sell Van Dijk, which is fair enough, but the rest of the players, Johansson should be on fire, Brown should be on fire, Griffiths all ended the season well, fair play to Griffiths, he's playing well now, but the rest of the team, it's like, we need to start again. And to me, if that's the situation next year, then that's on the manager.
The thing is, next year will be different for him, because I don't want to talk about them, because Rangers will be back in the league, and that'll make things more complicated for the league and for Dyla, because he's not played in a league. He's had a free reign in the league, really. Like, no real competition apart from Aberdeen, and we thought Aberdeen will fall away. And I don't think Rangers will be a big challenge next year, but I mean, if we ended up like losing a league game, like the first league game to Rangers next season, then that'd be something that it'd be hard for him to recover from.
Well, I thought of this yesterday. I think Dyer will go at the end of the season.
I was going to say, even if we win the league. When we win the league.
I think, like, even though I've just said you can't sack a league-winning manager, I think he'll go. I think any sale he'll go. I don't think he'll be pushed. I think there might be a conversation where they try and convince him to, but the more I think about it, the more I think he will go at the end of the year. And it'll not be because he's scared of fucking bread man coming up, but I think he'll go because Celtic will probably look to get somebody else in. And
wait, do you mean the end of this season?
Aye. I think if they don't win the treble, I think he'll go. I thought about this last night in the day, and I think that I would give him to next year, because I want to believe in him, but the way that we seem to start again every season isn't good enough. And as much as I wasn't his biggest fan, the year that Lennon got us into Champions League, that was all down to the momentum that we got for winning the league, for being 15 behind, finishing the season really well, winning the league, and just won the league that year, didn't we?
Right.
And then, of course, they had that sense of injustice with the Hearts game in the Scottish Cup semi-final. They came back the next year. That was all down to momentum. The season started the same time as it did this season. They came back, they made the Champions League. They beat teams they should be able to beat, like this year. And they didn't. It was the same the season later. We qualified for the Champions League because the team had enough momentum for the season before. They carried on. And obviously, that Neil Lennon locomotive broke down, but and I was prepared to excuse Dyer last year for the Champions League because he was just in the door, and I could genuinely believe talk unrest because the team is littered with Lennon's players like Stokes, Commons, Griffiths, Mulgrew, you know, the Foster, players like that who Lennon brought in and obviously were very close to him. But this year, I don't think there's if there's any dressing room unrest, I doubt it. I think this is just something that we're going to regurgitate every September, but if it gets to next year, I don't think, and Dyer gets to just say June, and he talks about starting again, I think you need to have a conversation with him and say, no, hold on, you've been here 2 years. The team that you should know you're starting 11 for the Champions League qualifiers, or you should know 8 or 9 of your players, and you should have identified 2 players that can come in and play straight away. Whereas this year it seems to be, there's no momentum carried over, there's no nothing, it just seems to be starting again, and we can't do that. You know, it's very unprofessional, for want of a better word. And if you go into a third season having to start again, then you need to ask yourself, is Dyer the man for the job? You know what I mean? If we start again every 12 months.
Would that be his fault, though? I mean, if you look, he lost his 2 centre-halves from last season. He's lost Matthews, then there's Lustig. It's injured. It's. I know what you mean.
Dyer wasn't our player last year, though. We had 12 months to replace Dyer.
And we knew.
Aye, but is that on the manager or is that on someone else?
No,
that's what I mean.
No, but I agree entirely. I don't think it's Dyer's fault that his best players seem to go right. But the players that are still there is absolutely no momentum for last season, which is really worrying because last January, February, March, April, we were flying and it was so good to watch Celtic play. You were excited when, you know, we were going for a treble and, you know, we had a wee bit of injustice at Dundee United. We came back, we took them a replay, we beat them. You get into semi-final and the season's just dropped deep for that day. And as much as we were done out that, we still threw it away as well. And we stumbled over the end of the season. Everybody says, oh, you know, next year, he's been there a year. It's got to get much better. We've got to qualify for the Champions League. We've got to take Europe by storm. I thought we'd qualify easily. We should have. But there's they don't seem to look as if they look like a different team starting out again. And we're asking the exact same questions we did last year. Dyer's got to change it because it's not working. And as much as I like them, if we go to next year and they come up, they'll be making a lot of noises if they're still about. They'll be making a lot of noises because that's who they are. You know what I mean? They are the people and all that. Doesn't matter if they're rubbish or no. They'll be telling us they're coming for us.
They make those noises.
Aye. And if we get to the 13th of September next year and if we're still doing this, God willing, or God unwilling, depending on your opinion, if we're still doing this, then you need to turn around and say, oh, if we're sitting next year and we're saying the same things like, oh, he's our forum, Dyer's got to change it, then Celtic need to change Dyer. As much as I like him, I think we are in a situation where we are handicapped by our surroundings. The league is rubbish, but to go into a third season and say, oh, I need to start again, like, even though Stratton spoke about Team 1, Team 2 and Team 3 and all that, right, but they were never starting again, and this just seems to be, they get to the end of the season, the players fuck off and come back the next year and it's like, right, this is how you play this system. They look, it's really worrying because it's the exact same as last year. They look as if they've never played that system before and everybody's screaming for players like Collins in that again, the team.
Couple of things and I'll just be brief. There was a collective failure really this year with the Champions League. We knew for last August that Van Dijk wanted to leave, and what they should have done, I think, was sell Van Dijk at the end of the season in like June and bring in Simonovic if we're really wanting him, if we're watching him for months, like they said, so he could get better into the squad and not just sign him in August. And secondly, the preparation this year was all set up. We didn't have a stupid tour to America. We didn't play a friendly. We done exactly what Delia wanted. We were still leading for the first leg, and then how many players just went to pieces in Malmo? So it's like the board of players and Delia. But the bug always stopped for the manager. And one last thing, people are not panicking about potentially being 5 points behind Aberdeen. But if it was the start of next season and we were potentially 5 points behind the Wolves machine, people would be going mental. They'd be wanting Delia sacked right now, because that would be seen as a humiliation.
There are people who want him sacked now anyway.
Even though I don't think he's a good manager, and I've no thought he's a good manager since he came, I don't think there'll be any point sacking him now. There's no point sacking him now. But I mean, if we were 5 points behind Rangers, people would want him sacked. I know it would still be early, but that would be seen as unacceptable.
No, I agree with that. Which is a shame, because I think that there was so much potential there, like, as I say, in the spring, for such a good team. And it seems to have all been blown. And I think he'll turn that around, we'll win the league, probably add a cup. That's why I would say next year's his biggest test. But if you say, if they're 5-6 points behind them, you know, and if we go to it, just say we want to go to Ibrox the first game next year and get humped, people would want blood, and it would be his that they would be going for. I hate talking about sacking Celtic managers, because, you know, they want to see MD lose their job, but it's all about that, you know, as you say, they can't go 3-4 years for the Champions League. It would be a catastrophe.
I don't think they can afford being without the Champions League dinner.
Well, they sell Van Dijk for 13 million, so.
But that'll cover next year's money, but I mean.
No,
I don't
see who they're going to sell next year.
No, there's nobody. I mean, they talk about Beaton and Van Dijk, and Beaton and Johansson, but we'll never get like anything like that for them.
I talked about this yesterday. I think Beaton, at the moment, highest bid you'd get for him would be about 7 million.
I'd agree with that.
I think that's the highest amount of money we'd get off for any player in that team for now.
I would take 3 for Johansson, you know.
We'd maybe get 5 or something for Johansson.
Johansson did it in Europe, so he might fetch a bit of money. Maybe he's alright in Europe. But I don't see who they're going to get 13 million for next year, so qualifying for the Champions League is vital.
Craig Gordon. I might try and sell him for big money, but then...
He's 34.
A goalkeeper at that age for any more than a million, 2 million.
Maybe so.
Darren, what do you think? Is he under pressure?
No, right now, but see if we get humped on Thursday and then draw one each with Dundee, the knives are going to be out, and then... I know it's Raith Rovers at Celtic Park, but that's going to become a massive game.
We've got Hearts at home after that.
Aye, exactly.
We'll probably beat them.
Because I think we go Hearts and then it's like away trip still at Hamilton and Motherwell. But I'm still a fan, and I think I'm more in the part where I hope he can get it going again rather than I think he can, because there's just too many times now that I'm starting to doubt him. And I'm still fully aboard the dial of us, but it might be nearing its destination if things don't improve.
By the same token, though, you're saying if we get humped off Ajax and draw with Dundee or whatever, like, if you look at it, we could, say we go over there and do what nobody really expects, win in Ajax, a decent win against Dundee, knock out Raith Rovers, beat Hearts, and then win our next couple of games and say Aberdeen drop points, and everything's going to look rosy again.
Aye.
So, I mean...
But we spoke a few weeks ago about are they up to the test, like when they go behind the games. The thing is, I think we fully expect Aberdeen to beat Hamilton, and then they seem good enough to beat most teams in SPL. We're always going to be playing the Sunday when they play the Saturday, so we're always going to have to be up for games. And that's one of the things we're going to need to see for this team, whether they have got that fighting ability in them.
But that Aberdeen result there could actually work now as a blessing in disguise. It could... Some of these off-form players could be like, okay, fuck, right, we've let ourselves down, we really need to pick ourselves up and we really need to get going now. But whether they do or not, I don't know if they will, but, you know, it's a possibility.
I don't know about that.
It's all about how they react. Whether they do or not, I don't know if they will, but...
I don't know, I don't really trust this Celtic team in any big games in there. There's too many people off-form, and I don't know, we went like a goal behind to a half-decent team. It wouldn't really shock me if we ended up going to pieces against them. But thankfully, the only half-decent teams we're going to play are in Europe. Well, I don't know, Aberdeen once every 4 months.
No, I agree. I think that they need to catch momentum soon. And if they don't, it'll be a very long season.
Does anybody actually think that we'll not win the league? Or like, even like be Ryan close?
I think it may be run close.
Aberdeen have won 5 out of 5.
I think we'll win it by single figures.
I think it'll run close because...
Then I'd worry. If they come to Celtic Park next month and beat us, then I would start to worry.
If we're playing in the Thursday night...
Well, no.
Oh, is that a Saturday?
A Saturday at lunchtime. I'm just looking at the fixtures here. We've got a Thursday night game after it.
Right, well, hopefully Aberdeen are late than the MA or something. But, no, I think we'll beat them. I wouldn't be surprised now. I think Aberdeen are going to take so much out of that, beating us with 10 men. And we're going to need to put up with McInnes for fucking months.
When we beat them up there in the greatest game since Lisbon 67, it was us that was down to 10 men, and that was a bit of a turning point for our season. So you wonder how much they will actually take out
it. If they go to Tynecastle next Sunday and win, that'd be a big win for them, because I know their hearts have sort of fell away a wee bit, but they've still started off well. And if they beat the two sort of form teams in like the space of a couple of weeks, I can't believe we're talking about a team like Aberdeen like this.
No, I still don't think they're very good, but they're effective at what they do.
Aye, they're effective at what they do, and they're going to beat 9 out of 10 teams in this league most weeks.
And you don't need to be very good to put a win of 6 runs together in Scotland. I think they're effective. I think they will fall away. We could really be dealing with taking 4 or 5 off at Celtic Park next month, and it's just probably not going to happen.
Well, the thing is, they cancelled that game. We didn't do that this year, so that's gave them the boost.
That means that they're a big team now. Hubris, they were shown, or that Rangers like hubris?
I mean, I don't want a league, but I mean, it might fucking go to the split.
I mean, it went to, like, was it March or April last year?
Because I'm putting my Eugene hat on here, but the team's really trying against Aberdeen. No, I really think they're a poor team, but I think they're poor individual players,
apart from a few, but they're a good, effective team, like, they're together.
I think the boy Jack's a great player, but I don't...
The worry is that they didn't play well yesterday. They went to 10 men and they beat us.
Aye.
And we'll get every advantage possible over Aberdeen, especially financially. If we'd have ended up like hammering them yesterday, like 4-0 or something, that would have just like finished Aberdeen already. Like, they wouldn't have been taken seriously again. But the fact that they were able to win like that, they didn't even do a ridiculous celebration at the end to McInnes, which was a shock. No, that is a big one. That's a big one for them. I know it's early.
I think the difference between their one and our one up there last season was ours came like November time, where we had a really... I don't think you can really call this... Obviously, it's no... We should be winning every game just about. But this is early September this happened. Like, it's not as if it is. If this had happened late November, then you could maybe start to worry a bit more.
The only thing is, though, it's come on the heels of going out the Champions League.
Aye.
Which is the biggest game of the season for us.
And Aberdeen would probably want Celtic early on the season, because it gives them a boost for the next 4 or 5 games. You know what I mean? It gives them that bit of momentum for the next 4 or 5 games, where they can look back and say, look, well, maybe they'll be one not doing it at Tynecastle next week, and say, look, you know what I mean, we're a man doing at this point last week, and we got a goal, and they'll take that on. Whereas I think we've lost a couple of times that we're getting beaten, and they get a player sent off and see you at the last 5 minutes with 10 men, but I genuinely can't remember the last time we get beat off 10 men, like, probably.
Aye, but I mean, I think if we do get humped like Thursday, then I think that'll put them under pressure. Never mind what happens against Dundee. I think losing, like, if we end up with losing 5-0 on Thursday, then
it would have to be a humping.
Aye, because I think most people expect us to lose on Thursday. If it's any more than 2, people will start talking again.
No, Neil Lennon got away with a 6-1. I know it was Barcelona, but we still got fucked 6-1. So it'd need to be better than 6-1 for him to get sacked.
Aye, we're going to get sacked regardless of what the score is.
Paul Hartley.
Hartley's not ready for a Celtic job.
No, Hartley's not ready. I don't know who you would go with.
I think McNamara will be for Easton.
No, I wouldn't go.
Dewey wasn't ready. They wanted him to be the assistant manager, and they ended up being the manager. They wanted him to be Lennon's assistant manager. Ended up being the manager. So.
Aye, did they not want him to be Roy Keane's assistant manager at all?
I thought it was Lennon's.
Aye, but I think when they were offering the job to Roy Keane as well, I'm pretty sure Keane said that they were telling him he was having to take on somebody as an assistant manager.
Maybe. Did they not try and get Stuart Baxter in as well yet again to help him?
Surely, if not.
Oh, was that with Lennon? Oh, it was Lennon.
That was Lennon.
That was Lennon. It all blends into one miserable memory.
They'll make a play for Gordon Strachan to come in as a director of football like they did with Lennon as well. Because that was under consideration with Lennon in his second season after we get beat 4-2 off, I can't remember who it was, in the league.
Oh, right.
They're not in this league anymore. I don't know what happened to them.
I don't know that about the Gordon Strachan.
They had approached him about being a director of football to help Lennon in terms of experience, but for one reason or another, it never happened.
I don't know if they did that now, but I mean, Strachan might be at a loose end after November, so.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I think there could be that possibility.
They'll go for a Celtic minded manager. Owen Coyle.
I'll be Paul Hartley.
Lambert.
Especially if Dundee won next Sunday.
Would you go for Derek McInnes?
No.
I don't think he'd join Celtic, but he's a good manager.
If he wanted a job, I'd probably give him an interview.
The thing is, I don't like this almost insistence that we go for somebody who's Celtic-minded, which was another reason I quite liked the Dial appointment. I think we need to get away from this, the guy has to know Celtic and all that, because it does my head in.
Then fucking me and you may get a job.
Aye, I know.
No, but I mean, McInnes is a good manager. He probably wouldn't take a job. He's probably waiting
for it. An ex-Celtic manager will be, in truth. Neil Lennon will get him.
No.
Nah, he'll not come back.
He'll never come back. Too many bridges burned.
100% he'll come back.
He doesn't go on with the people in charge. So.
Aye, but he's probably, Ernie Albee's left him again. He's probably absolutely devastated down there. He's got no money to spend. He's got no nothing.
Shouldn't
have
that job then.
It's gone sour.
He took the job because he was fear.
He was desperate, basically.
He wouldn't have gotten it on.
Well, no, he'll never be sell manager again. That'll not happen.
I think he's an ex manager. Especially if McNamara gets the sack.
McNamara will never get the job either.
I really don't know who they would go for. I think they'll probably try and pull another Scandinavian out of that. Ege Harida.
Probably.
No, it'll be Hartley.
Hartley to get it.
They'll want to go back, the fans and the board will want to go back to somebody Celtic minded.
They're grooming Scott Brown into a coaching role. You know what makes sense? They are grooming him into it, you know what I mean? He's got to be part of the next, I think he'll be part of the next managerial.
Why? What's the point? Is he just going to teach people how to steal?
I don't know. But he's coached the development team and all that. Stevie Frail's chucked it, so.
Well, we might be getting that guy for Dungeon 18, that's what I heard. The guy in charge of Dungeon 18, youth.
Oh, aye.
So that brings an end. We will be back after the Ajax victory. So I'll pass you over to the boys who say their final words and au revoir. So, Hunter.
Great to have John on the podcast for the first time, and I'm being 100% serious. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at @forforheel. So give me a follow if you want.
And Bruce?
I would just like to say, reiterate the words about John. It was John that brought me into the podcasting game. I'm eternally grateful, as are all you listeners. although the road may be long and weary, it is darkest before the dawn, and it will get better for Celtic. Please make it better someday.
And the special guest, John.
Delighted to be here on this podcast to complain about Celtic, which is what I love to do on Twitter. And now you can follow me on Twitter at Warburton's Magic Hat.
And that brings an end to the show. If you've made it this far, we've got nothing but respect for you. You can find me on Twitter. In fact, you can find the official podcast Twitter at Respect the Pod. Cheers for listening. Hail, hail.
Bye.